The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. Sparky ain't here. She's still recovering. And Chris is here. Chris Klaproth is our normally on the other side of the glass. Vern Anderson's over there right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Vern is very capably handling the phones. You're over here. You were just out doing some work for the future.
For tomorrow morning.
For tomorrow morning?
Tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Yeah. Are you here tonight?
No. I'm not here tonight.
Okay. All right. But the reason you're here is, for those just joining us, you recently completed your hunter safety education course.
Last weekend.
Yeah, that's why you weren't here. And got 100% on the test.
Yes, I was surprised. No, I
did your trailing? Did your trailing little thing? You know, did you do the tracking?
Yes. No, we didn't do any blood tracking.
No blood tracking.
No, which I'm surprised.
Yeah, me too.
Because I remember reading somewhere online that that was going to be one of the things to do.
Yeah, well, when you shoot your first deer, you call me and I'll come help you track it.
Okay.
Because I'm good at that.
I thought we could go together.
Well, we might do that.
But who knows?
Hey, Douglas in Perry Hall. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing, Douglas?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well. What's up?
First time caller.
Yep.
First time listener.
First time listener?
First time listener. I don't normally get up this early unless I'm going to work.
Right, right. Well, I'm sorry to hear you missed the last 30 years.
Well, I've been filled in by a good friend of mine.
Oh.
Knows you well.
Okay.
Actually, a couple months ago, I actually met you for the first time.
You met me?
Yeah.
Really?
I am a member of Barmer County Game and Fish.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay. I'm also a hunter safety instructor there.
Right, right, right. Okay. I knew who the mutual acquaintance is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Young lady. I'm guessing it's a young lady.
Negative.
Negative. Okay.
Negative.
Right. Okay. Maybe it's a guy. Maybe it's a guy that lives there.
That's him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. All right.
Butch.
Yeah, good old Butch. Yeah. Hi, Butch. So
I actually met you at Chris Donahue's memorial.
Yes, I remember. Okay. Now it's all coming back.
There you go. I told you I don't normally get up this early. However, I set my alarm just for your show.
Yep.
Because I've been deeply involved with the Chesapeake Forest Land project, debacle, whatever
right.
you call it.
Right.
Before I get into all of that, let me tell Chris, thank you very much for taking the hunter safety program through the traditional classes. I understand a lot of people can't put the time out to go through the traditional classes, and really their only way to do it is through the computer, and it's very time saving for a lot of people. We get that. When that first program first came out, us instructors were really kind of hurt. I've been doing this now for 28 years. We were really kind of hurt that they were taking our students from us. And it has hurt the traditional classes big time. It has been a big drop off in our classes. However, if you don't have the time to put in, coming out in the evening or a Saturday morning to take the class, we get it. And we just appreciate the fact that you're going to be out there in the woods and being safe about it.
Right.
He's not the first person I heard say that they actually took the online course and then ended up taking the traditional class. Had a friend point another one of his friends to me that was having trouble finding the field days. That is the problem with the online course.
Yes, it was booked. Like I said, I signed up for it in April. And when I went back to check, just a couple months ago, it's like I couldn't find any available times. And then when they told me, if you don't take the class today, you're going to have to wait until, 2 weeks. And that was, that would be this week, next weekend.
Right. It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
This one person in mind, she came to me after the traditional class was over, and she said, "Thank you so much for getting me out here into this class." I learned more
mm-hmm.
in the class and listening to you guys, your experiences. And we get to ask the questions where our computer won't answer us.
Exactly. I mean, I did the same thing that young lady did. I took the class. I mean, I took it online, got 80%, and it was just by accident that I ended up signing and taking the two-day version, which was a traditional class time, and then, of course, the field day. And I did the same thing. It's like, I learned more. Even though I passed the test and I didn't have to sit in class, I got, when I took it online, 80%. When I took it at the end of field day, 100%. And it was because of the instructors. Because, as you just said, I mean, I learned, their personal experience, and it just meant more. It had more impact. So I wholeheartedly recommend. Now, I realize, as you just said, not everybody can get out, but make the effort, because you will learn more by attending the class.
One thing I would like to challenge all the people that have taken the course online is, okay, you've got your card. Find the class. And go sit in on the class and take the class if you can. I mean, the time thing is a big thing for everybody. However, go out there and take the class because, one, it's free. Your taxes have already paid for it.
Exactly. I had to pay for the test online.
Exactly. But when you do it, also take the kid with you because the kids are not getting out. They're sitting in the house playing on the games. I mean, my own son, he's hunt with me every year since he turned 10. I have a hard time getting him out into the woods. Not so much into the woods, but outside to do the scouting, do the work on the stands, which is not actual hunting, but it's a part of the hunting.
Well, it's funny you should mention the kids, because in our class we had like 6 or 7 young boys, and it was great to see them out. And I'm not sure if they were all, part of a scout troop or whatever, but just to see the kids out there, it was an excellent, excellent adventure. And, there was this young man, he came up to the fence, because one of the things you had to do is Passover.
Right.
Or pass through. And he gave me the gun, and I said, I've got it. And he looked at me, and I said, "There's just one thing you forgot." And he looked at me, and I said, "You forgot to check the chamber and make sure it was empty."
And he
said, "Thank you very much." I said, "That's what we're all here for. It's camaraderie. And you teach other people, because that's part of the experience. It's if you know something, teach it. Give that information to somebody else, because it will improve their skills." And, I must admit, it's kind of a little bit of a pat on your own back, because it's like, I can share something. But that's part of it. That's part of the experience.
The pat on the back, even if it's coming from yourself, is very worthwhile. One of the main reasons I started doing this was because I wanted to teach the kids coming up. We stand up in front of the classes, and yes, we'll have kids in the class and we'll have adults in the class. The adults have hunted several weeks. Maybe it's their first year. Maybe they've been hunting for a lifetime. They were grandfathered in to the license requirement. The kids are sitting there riveted with their eyes on you, soaking it in like a dry sponge on a perforating day.
That's right.
The adults are sitting there going, yeah, move on. I'm only here because I got to be here.
Yeah.
I don't do it for the adults.
No, you do it for the kids.
And they suck it all in, and they want to learn. They're there because they want to learn. The adults are there because they got to be there.
That's right. Douglas? I appreciate your call. We've got to move on. We've got callers standing in line. So we thank you for your good words. We thank you for your good work. And we appreciate your work with the Hunter Safety Education course and for being a first-time listener.
I also hope the callers are going to talk about the Chesapeake Forest debacle.
Well, there was a lot of development in that this week, and I'm not up to speed on it, so I can't speak to it. But I do know the Chesapeake Forest Alliance is rocking and rolling. I'm sure you're sharing the emails with them, and we're good to go.
Absolutely. You were on the email list.
Yep.
I was at the meeting in Annapolis. I sent out a summary of what happened between DNR and the current leaseholders.
Yep, I see it.
I wanted to be at the Chesapeake Forest Alliance, but I was late.
Yeah.
They kicked me out. Yep. But that's got to be addressed. And I think the current DNR secretary is very, how can I say this, is being very convincing that she wants to work with us.
Okay.
I have faith in her.
Thank you, Douglas. We really have to go. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Uh-huh. There he goes. Fran in Baltimore. How you doing, young lady?
Oh, good morning. Yes, I'm glad that gentleman, first-time listener and caller, decided to call this morning. And the subject that he's talking about, you know, is dear to my heart.
Sure.
Just in case, I know he's probably still listening, but I am a female in my 70s. I took the hunting safety course at the place, right? Not online.
Right.
And I went the first night out of curiosity, and I told my family, I'm just going to go take a peek. If they act funny or don't want me, I won't go no more. Well, I came home and said, I'm going back every night. It was the most fascinating, exciting thing I've done in many years. I passed the course. I have my HQL license. I took the shooting range part. And I tell you, it just opened up a whole new world for me. There is nothing like the class. If nothing happens with my mind, I will have the memories from the people, the experience, their faces, and the fun we started having in that class the rest of my life. And I'm on a rollator chair and all kinds of things. So let me tell you, if it was exciting for me, don't hesitate. It's something you can go to right by yourself.
There you go.
Oh, and the one other thing I wanted to say, you were talking about climate change.
Yes.
And if people believe in it and like it and all this. Instead of worrying about the weather, this is my philosophy that people can be concerned with. And I'll keep it very short. Life changes with every tomorrow. Now, that is more of a problem for you guys, for everybody, than the weather. Because nothing you can do about the weather.
Nope.
But you might be able to do something about your life.
There you go.
Well said.
Well said.
All right. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Thank you, friend.
See you, friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Glenn in Chestertown, good morning.
Hey, Alan. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you? You got a lot of climate change here in Chestertown?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have put my conservative slant on it. There's climate change. They say it's the weather, and I think, well, yeah, we've had, a little extra 90-degree weather, but
it's a little extra.
Shifting around.
Yep. Everything's cyclical, isn't it? Or cyclical. Yep. How do you say that?
Cyclical.
Cyclical?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Bluefish are cyclical. You know.
Oysters?
Oysters are done.
Well, but anyway. Still.
Yeah.
But everything runs in a cycle.
Everything runs in a cycle.
Everything.
Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. And that was said thousands and thousands of years ago.
I wonder if they had climate change then.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask Elisha about that. Didn't rain for, 7 years?
Something of that nature.
Yeah. Well, all right, Glenn, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, it's there, tell Robin up at high on if she gets better.
We'll do it. We'll do it. All right, buddy, got to go.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. See ya. There he goes. Hey, I want to take this call, and then we'll do the break. Richard, where have you been?
How you doing, my friend? I've been listening to you.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. How are things in your neck of the world?
Well, we're in the middle of a gun buyback.
Yeah, buyback.
Buyback.
I thought they were
it's
seizing
forced.
Your
yeah, exactly. It's forced.
It's a, you know, that's, they're actually confiscating them, but they're buying them.
Yeah.
It's a politically correct.
Richard is in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. So how do you like living under socialism?
Well, we miss America, of course.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're Americans. I don't know if we'll stay here the rest of our life, but it's very different. Of course, there are a lot of people here that are totally against the way that went.
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the noncompliance rate from what I read was about 80% or 85%, something like that.
Yes,
as far as people turning in their guns.
Actually, I got a friend of mine, an acquaintance that I made, and he has a business here outside of the town, and he has flown the American flag ever since they passed the law.
Good for him.
Good.
Good
yes.
for him. Good for him.
Make the presence known.
Yep. So, yeah.
The freedom is not that far away.
Yeah, I mean, you had a horrific shooting, and within a week, the laws had changed to confiscate all the guns in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Under the socialist, new socialist leader of New Zealand. I can't say her name. You can tell me.
But I think they did.
Jacinda Ardern.
That's the one, Jacinda Ardern.
Didn't they kind of do that back in the late 30s in Germany?
Yeah, they did. And they did it in Australia. Mm-hmm. They did it in England. And, again, the noncompliance rate in Australia is 80%. In England, I don't know what it is. You know,
I don't think you can have anything over 12. I think I read somewhere 12-foot power.
I
mean, you can have an air rifle, and even then, that's kind of pushing it.
An air rifle?
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah,
well,
you can at this point here, you can still have bolt action rifles.
Yeah, no semi-automatic.
With the ARs and anything automatic with a clip.
Yeah.
I think a clip over five or something like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, that's what people in this country don't understand about these gun. I call them gun grabbers, or these gun progressive gun people that want to. Oh, all we want is a universal background check, and you know.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex.
Listen every Sunday from 6:05 to 6:20 a.m. for a broadcast from the internationally known St. Jude Shrine in Baltimore. St. Jude is the patron saint of despair and hopeless cases. Join us in prayer every Sunday from 6:05 to 6:20 a.m. on WCBM.
The following program has been pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song
than diamonds or gold.
Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him, and he don't die, he'll probably just ride away.
All right, Vern, bring it back here. We need some callers. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So there you go. I know what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, let's see here. If you didn't see it, there's a brand new state record for mahi-mahi, which is dolphin fish. A fellow by the name of Jeff Wright of Cambridge, and I may or may not know Jeff, broke the 34-year-old Maryland state fishing record for the Atlantic Division for a common dolphin fish, or mahi-mahi. Did you see this picture online? 72.8 pound.
That's one big fish.
That is a big fish.
Big
that's a,
fish.
That's a 6 foot dolphin. Pretty much.
I mean,
that's a big dolphin. But what I was reading is the former record was caught by Kim Lawson, who reeled in a 67.8 pound common dolphin in 1985. And I'm not sure if this Kim Lawson is a male or a female, but the former mayor of Crisfield, Maryland's name is Kim Lawson. So I'm going to have to text Kim,
find out if
Lawson,
it's one and
Mayor
the same
Lawson,
person.
And say, are you the guy whose dolphin fish record was just broken? Nice guy. He's a very, very nice advocate for the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine in the Crisfield area.
Well, everybody on that side of the bridge is nice.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I know. You're just trying,
trying to suck
Stan
up.
Stan in Catonsville. Good morning, truck driving Stan, man.
What's happening, fellas? What's happening? Can
hey,
you
Stan.
Hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Where are you?
I'm in Catonsville, right in the, I'm about a mile west of the Beltway on Edmonton Avenue. Let me ask you guys about these crookedies crabs now. You got. We usually ice them down, but you know when you ice crabs down, you preserve them to keep the claws on them, right? So they
It's
like cooking a cold steak. Now when you kill a crab with an ice pick, where do you put that at? Exactly right between his eyes, or how do you kill that crab before you can cook it? You understand what the question I'm asking you?
Yeah, I do understand the question you're asking me there, Stan. But the question is, do you really think you should kill them before you steam them? Why don't you just throw them in the steam pot?
Because, of course, you do that. I used to work in a restaurant. We used to have to ice them down because that's how the claws stay on them. You just can't take a bunch of live crabs and throw them in the pot. The claws won't stay on them. That's for a presentation, though. You understand? When you catch... To get a good bushel of Maryland crabs, I bet you gotta catch the fine. I'm gonna go down to Port Street today. We go down every weekend. We don't go to the, we got a bunch of crabs right down there. I'll let you know the quality of the crabs. But remember how in the crab after stuff with electrocute them?
They do. That keeps the claws on as well. They put them in a bushel basket. They put them in water. They dump them in a tank and they throw the switch. And there's a car battery hooked up to that. Some of them are more sophisticated than that.
But that's the simple version
is you electrocute the crab and throw them in a steam pot.
And you know, some of these pots, you know, you get a stainless steel pot, a heavy stainless. And what I have a problem with is the wash at the bottom. I got a splash that the water comes up. I got the crab like 6 inches off the bottom of the pot.
Yeah.
But you still, you're creating steam. It takes 20 minutes to cook a bushel. Once you've got a head of steam.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about that. It's like cooking cold crabs is like cooking a cold steak. You don't want to do it.
Why?
Because it takes longer.
There are hundreds of crab houses in Maryland that cook cold crabs.
That's right.
I don't understand what the dilemma is there.
okay, I understand, but
I mean, you're what are you saying? You ice them down, then you let them come back, and then you kill them, and then you steam them? Is that, do you think, what the process is?
No. What we do is we would ice them down, just ice them down and just lay them in the pot and cook them. I'm going to tell you, just crabs are very expensive now. It's like cooking up,
Yeah, here's what I would do. I would do that, but here's what I would do. I'd take them out and put them in a wash tub or something like that in fresh water for about an hour. And what that does is purges the crabs. It gets all the poop out of them. Okay. And that makes them much, much cleaner. You know, you fish them out of that water, you dump that water away, and then you steam them. But you still steam them live. And if, you know, if you're worried about them being cold, then they're already alive when you purge them. You know, just take them out of there and throw them in a steamer. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, we don't practice animal activism here. You know, we're steaming a live crab. So what?
Right.
So what? It's like steaming a live lobster. So what? You know, we don't name them. We don't think they have individual personalities.
You don't?
No.
I'm then doing something wrong then.
Why, you name all your crabs?
No.
All right.
How are the crabs? How is the quality of the crabs? I had some about 3 weeks ago where they were in the, like, the paper shelves.
Yeah.
But it's the crab. Well, it's coming to the end.
Yeah. Paper shells aren't bad to eat. I just don't like those paper shells. But, you know. All right, Stan. Listen, I appreciate the call, buddy.
All right, buddy.
See you, man. Take care. Bye-bye. Claude in Northeast.
Hey, how you doing, Alan?
I'm good. How are you doing, Claude?
I bet you I got something you never heard of.
That wouldn't surprise me.
A cambulance.
A what?
A cambulance.
Which is a combination of?
A ambulance turned into a camper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw Ghostbusters, just so you know.
No, think about it. I mean, one of them square-backed ambulances, it's got an owning generator on it. It's got lights. It's got all the inverters. It's got all the plugs in the inverters, so you can run everything. You can hook up a sink, a shower, everything.
Do you own one of these?
Yeah, I just bought one.
Oh, well, tell me after your first camping adventure how it worked out.
I sure will. But, hey, you ever watch the Bering Sea?
Do what?
Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that's a bad job there, ain't it, man?
Yeah. Can kill you.
I couldn't believe it, man, how they do that, man. That's crazy.
You're right. I actually interviewed a couple of those captains a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I sure did. Wrote about it in the Crab Magazine. They usually have one of those guys at the Waterman's Day down in St. Michael's at the Maritime Museum. That's coming up next Saturday, I believe, down there. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Waterman's Day. There's a place you ought to go. That's fun.
Man, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
St. Michael's is gorgeous.
Yep. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, well, you enjoy your cambulance, and let me know how you make out after.
Matter of fact, when you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up ambulances turn into campers, and you see how nice of a job they do inside them.
Yeah, I'll do that right after the show.
I couldn't believe it myself when I saw it, Alan.
All right, well, so all you right. bought one, right?
Yep, I got one.
All right, buddy.
Let us know.
See you later.
All right, buddy. See you.
Thanks.
See you.
Hey, Don. Oh, Don left. Call back, Don. Captain Don.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. I'm just kind of speechless right now.
I was about to say, how do you answer all that?
I'm not sure.
It speaks for itself.
I'm not sure. I, you know, went from sticking crabs between the eyes to cambulance. Hey,
it makes talk radio interesting.
That's why we're here.
That's part of it.
Yes, indeed.
And we've got open lines, so give us a call.
Yeah. Oh, really? Something weird is happening with the app. I'll be in the middle of a conversation. All of a sudden, the whole thing will be repeated. What's that?
That is a very good question.
Ooh.
It makes me wonder if maybe the server.
So something weird's happening with the app. Never mind.
I'm missing something on that
one. All right. So you know anything about that? No?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the first complaint we've had. So
let's see if there's more.
Yeah. Well, I believe, look, Tom, the state cop, I don't think he's going to, you know.
I did not know his background. No, 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 I apologize.
No, my bad.
No,
no. You'll be in the middle of a conversation. All of a sudden, the whole thing will be repeated. So it's we're DVR in our radio show. That's okay. What it is, apparently. There's Captain Don. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, fine this morning. How's it going?
I'm well. Saw you were at Clyde's earlier.
I was. I had to pick up some stuff.
Okay.
I had some friends coming over today, and they're going to have some children, so I decided to pick up a couple of small rods and reels.
Oh, nice.
And set up some target practice.
Oh, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
What are you using for target practice?
We have a board set up with a circle, and it has a big arrow pointing to the circle. You know,
throw
your weight. And not only do the kids enjoy it, you usually get the adults to get up and they give themselves they bet with each other about, you know. And all that. So that's actually a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I used to run casting kids events when I was at the big store. I don't know if you've ever heard of one of those or not, but you know that was an accuracy and distance type of thing. So yeah there's actually
Pasadena's, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I said the Pasadena Sports Fishing Group, they put on some of those casting contests. A lot of fun.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And I did catch that little comment about my prowess at crabbing using traps.
Who, me?
Not Alan.
No, I didn't say anything. Hey, wait. Hold on. Would you like me to read the email back to our listeners there, Don?
You know what?
Now he turns and runs.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to check your gear.
Uh-huh.
I didn't check my knots and my string. I had a rotten piece of string, and I got a great big crab in a trap, and I'm pulling it up, and there he goes, out the open door.
Got it.
So when you made reference that giving crabs names and all that,
yeah.
Well, the crab that bites my finger.
Oh, I bet he has a name.
I was about to say, you can't repeat that.
Give him a name. It's not a good name.
No, I was about to say, you probably can't repeat it. And if
funny.
You do, we'll have to use the dump button.
That's funny.
That's the dump,
yeah.
And the other thing, to listen to the program, I mean, it's just so much information on this program this morning. I was thinking, the gentleman was talking about cold crabs and all that. Well, crabs are transported all over the state in refrigerated trucks.
That's right.
In boxes.
Refrigerated trucks.
Oh, not only that, but they come from Louisiana, North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, you know.
Yep, the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Coast.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
So. And that segues into the previous caller, that Campulance.
The what?
Let's put a little the Campulance thing.
Yeah, Campulance, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can carry trucks in there because we just heard that there are generators and inverters.
Mm-hmm.
We could put a little refrigeration unit in there. It's probably already air-conditioned. We can carry crabs in there.
Yeah,
there you go. Pack it and stack it.
I mean, stack.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, here's an even better idea.
Okay, I'm game.
Become...
Looks like it's going to stay on the hot side as we get through the next several days. A midsummer feel here in Baltimore. The rest of your Saturday, we'll see a good deal of clear skies. Afternoon highs getting into the middle and upper 80s. Average low and high this time of year is 56 and 76. Then tonight, just a few scattered clouds, a low down to the mid-60s. Mostly sunny weather ahead for Sunday, highs in the low 90s. And partly sunny and hot on Monday, highs in the low 90s. Tuesday sunshine, I think, will be just a little cooler with highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
The following program has been pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowards. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Make them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. They'll never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love. Cowboys ain't easy to love and they're harder to hold. And they'd rather give you a song
than diamonds or gold.
Lone Star belt buckles and old faded Levi's. And each night begins a new day. And if you don't understand him, and he don't die young, you'll probably just ride away.
All right, Vern, bring it back here. We need some callers. 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. So there you go. I know what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, let's see here. If you didn't see it, there's a brand-new state record for mahi-mahi, which is dolphin fish. A fellow by the name of Jeff Wright of Cambridge, and I may or may not know Jeff, broke the 34-year-old Maryland state fishing record for the Atlantic Division for a common dolphin fish, or mahi-mahi. Did you see this picture online? 72.8 pound.
That's one big fish.
That is a big fish.
That's a
6-foot dolphin, pretty much.
I mean,
that's a big dolphin. But what I was reading is, the former record was caught by Kim Lawson, who reeled in a 67.8-pound common dolphin in 1985. And I'm not sure if this Kim Lawson, is a male or a female, but the former mayor of Crisfield, Maryland's name is Kim Lawson. So I'm going to have to text Kim,
find out if
Lawson,
it's one and the
mayor
same
Lawson,
person.
And say, are you the guy whose dolphin fish record was just broken? Nice guy. He's a very, very nice advocate for the Maryland Loves Crabs magazine in the Crisfield area.
Well, everybody on that side of the bridge is nice.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I know. You just trying
to suck
Stan
up.
Stan in Catonsville. Good morning, truck driving Stan man.
What's happening, fellas? What's happening?
Hey, Stan.
Okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Where are you?
I'm in Catonsville, right in the. I'm about a mile west of the Beltway on Edmonton Avenue.
Uh-huh.
let me ask you guys about these crookedies crabs. Now, you got, we usually ice them down, but you know when you ice crabs down, you preserve them to keep the claws on them, right? So they.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like cooking a cold steak. Now, when you kill a crab with an ice pick, where do you put that at? Exactly right between his eyes? Or how do you kill that crab before you can cook it? Do you understand what the question I'm asking you?
Yeah, I do understand the question you're asking me there, Stan. But the question is, do you really think you should kill them before you steam them? Why don't you just throw them in a steam pot?
Because, of course, I used to work in a restaurant. We used to have to ice them down because that's how the claws stay on them. You just can't take a bunch of live crabs and sell them in the pot. The claws won't stay on them. That's for a presentation, though. You can understand? To get a good bushel of Maryland crabs, I bet you got to catch me. I'm going to go down to Port Street today. We go down every weekend.
Well, I'm not definitive on the whole lot, but
square back ambulances, it's got an Onan generator on it. It's got lights. It's got all the inverters. It's got all the plugs in the inverters, so you can run everything. You can hook up a sink, a shower, everything.
Do you own one of these?
Yeah, I just bought one.
Oh, well, tell me after your first camping adventure how it worked out.
I sure will. But hey, you ever watch the Bering Sea?
Do what?
Deadliest Catch.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, that's a bad job there, ain't it, man?
Yeah. Can kill you.
I couldn't believe it, man, how they do that, man. That's crazy.
You're right. I actually interviewed a couple of those captains a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yeah, I sure did. They usually have one of those guys at the Waterman's Day down in St. Michael's at the Maritime Museum. That's coming up next Saturday, I believe, down there. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, Waterman's Day. There's a place you ought to go. That's fun.
Man, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
St. Michael's is gorgeous.
Yep. So.
Yeah, that's coming.
All right, well, you enjoy your cambulance, and let me know how you make out after.
Matter of fact, when you get a chance, go on YouTube and look up ambulances turn into campers. And you see how nice of a job they do inside them.
Yeah, I'll do that right after the show.
I couldn't believe it myself when I saw it, Alan.
All right. Well, so you bought one, right?
Yep, I got one.
All right, buddy.
Let us know.
See you later.
Thanks.
See you.
Hey, Don. Oh, Don left. Call back, Don. Captain Don.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. I'm just kind of speechless right now.
I was about to say, how do you answer all that?
I'm not sure.
It speaks for itself.
I'm not sure. I, you know, went from sticking crabs between the eyes to cambulance. Hey.
Hey, it makes talk radio interesting.
That's why we're here.
That's part of it.
Yes, indeed.
And we've got open lines, so give us a call.
Yeah. Oh, really? Something weird is happening with the app. I'll be in the middle of a conversation. All of a sudden, the whole thing will be repeated. What's that?
That is a very good question.
Ooh.
Makes me wonder if maybe the server.
So something weird's happening with the app. Never mind.
I'm missing something on that.
Yeah,
one.
All right. So, you know anything about that? No?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the first complaint we've had, so.
Let's see if there's more.
Yeah. Well, I believe, look, Tom's a state cop. I don't think he's going to, you know.
I did not know his background.
No.
I apologize.
No.
My bad.
No. You'll be in the middle of a conversation. All of a sudden, the whole thing will be repeated. So it's we're DVR in our radio show. That's
okay.
What it is, apparently. There's Captain Don. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, fine this morning. How's it going?
I'm well. Saw you were at Clyde's earlier.
I was. I had to pick up some stuff.
Okay.
I had some friends coming over today.
And
they're going to have some children, so I decided to pick up a couple of small rods and reels.
Oh, nice.
And set up some target practice.
Oh, that's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun.
What are you using for target practice?
We have a board set up with a circle, and it has a a big arrow pointing to the circle, you know, throw,
yeah, that's nice.
Throw your weight. And not only do the kids enjoy it, you usually get the adults to get up and they give themselves they bet with each other about it and all that. It's actually a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I used to run casting kids events when I was at the big store. I don't know if you've ever heard of one of those or not, but you know that was an accuracy and distance type of thing. So yeah, there's actually
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I said the Pasadena Sports Fishing Group, they put on some of those casting contests. A lot of fun.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And I did catch that little comment about my prowess at crabbing using traps.
Who, me?
Not Alan.
No, I didn't say anything. Hey, wait. Hold on. Would you like me to read the email back to our listeners there, Don?
You know what?
Now he turns and runs.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to check your gear.
Uh-huh.
I didn't check my knots and my string. I had a rotten piece of string, and I got a great big crab in a trap, and I'm pulling it up, and there he goes, out the open door.
Got it.
So when you made reference that giving crabs names and all that,
yeah.
Well, the crab that bites my finger.
I bet he has a name.
I was about to say, you can't repeat that.
I give him a name. It's not a good name.
No, I was about to say, you probably can't repeat it. And if
funny.
You do, we'll have to use the dump button.
That's funny.
That's the dump, yeah. And the other thing, to listen to the program, I mean, it's just so much information on this program this morning. I was thinking, the gentleman was talking about cold crabs and all that. Well, crabs are transported all over the state in refrigerated trucks.
They have to be, that's right.
Yeah. In boxes.
Refrigerated trucks.
Oh, not only that, but they come from Louisiana, North Carolina, Virginia, Texas, you know.
Yep, the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Coast.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
And that segues into the previous caller, that Campulance.
The what?
Let's put a little the Campulance thing.
Yeah, Campulance, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can carry trucks in there because we just heard that there are generators and inverters.
Mm-hmm.
We could put a little refrigeration unit in there. It's probably already air conditioned. We can carry crabs in there.
Yeah, there you go.
Just pack it and stack it.
I mean, stack.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, here's an even better idea.
Okay, I'm game.
Become make a cottage business out of it.
Exactly.
You know? Move them from one place to
another. And deliver
them. Yeah, that'd be good. Interesting.
In comfort,
yeah. Turn the siren on.
Yep.
The Crabulance.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm liking it.
No, I think it's great. But, hey, another thing is my neighbor, I sent you some pictures. Of the crabs. Well, he came home last night with a full bushel, and I'm telling you, the crabs that they brought in yesterday.
Nice.
I guess I shouldn't mention where.
No.
They were bigger than the ones that I sent, that I showed you online. So,
people holding up crabs for the magazine. That's what I like to see.
Okay.
Show us your crabs.
Well, he sent me pictures of him holding up crabs that somebody else. Well, no, I guess you caught those. Yeah, but he didn't.
Let me see.
There was no video of the crab escaping.
Oh, okay.
No, it was just him holding up a couple crabs. But you know, if the neighbors have a neighbor and you hold up a bushel of crabs, you know,
show off your Maryland pride.
Yeah, he has an agent. I have to check with his agent.
Oh, I see. As an agent.
Oh yeah, but like Jerry Mahoney used to say, remember Jerry Mahoney, the dummy that sat on Paul Winchell's lap, the ventriloquist.
Yes.
A lie is just as good as the truth if you get someone to believe it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
There you go.
All right, Captain.
Well, you all have a wonderful weekend.
I hope you do the same.
I hope you don't get to name any of those crabs.
Take care.
See you, buddy. Right, thanks. All right, there he goes, Captain Don. I know, Bern. I got to take a break. All right. Mark and Towson, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. How's your wife? How's Robin?
Fair. Still a lot of pain. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Still a lot of pain. And weaning off the pain meds, which is not a happy thing.
So, no. But it's better than the alternative.
Well, yeah. But that's one thing I never worry about with Robin. So.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Brief word about global warming.
Yes, sir. Please fill us in. Give us the definitive word.
Well, I'm not definitive on the whole lot, but I...
None of it is, just so you know.
A trend depends on your time frame. If it's getting warmer, and I look at Greenland, it was named by Leif Erikson because it was very green when he found it.
That's true.
Through our lives and many generations prior, it's been a land of ice and snow.
That's true.
Now scientists are concerned because ice is melting and it's turning green again.
Right.
Do you call that a return to normalcy?
I don't know.
Or do you call it global warming?
I do.
What's your narrative?
Show me a period the climate didn't change.
None. It's always been in flux.
Uh-huh. And the worst part is there are some man-made factors, such as China brings a new, really dirty coal-fired electric generating plant online every 3 days.
Right.
With all those emissions.
No question.
See, that's just it. Everybody's holding the United States responsible, but nobody's holding these other countries responsible.
No.
And the United States CO2 emissions have been going down every year.
Correct.
Exactly.
Right.
But if you don't look at China, India, and Africa, we could shut down tomorrow, and it wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's a problem.
That's right. I say kill all the cows and stop driving our cars.
Well, some people in Congress want to do that.
Everybody concentrates on cars. People don't talk about the incredible inefficiency of some buildings. And for all the climate change people, and I'll doubt that there's climate change, and I'll doubt that there's some man.